Well, thank y'all for coming, man. It's always fun to come hang out on Wednesday night. And I'm going to say, dude, what is wrong with you, man? You just made fun of me and then you broke it, man. I seen Billy Maher one time with a jerk line tucked in his belt, run to the end of it like it and just jerked him back. Same. Oh, goodness. So, I will say this. Tonight I told you we were going to just kind of talk a little bit about Easter coming up. And Easter is our big day of the year. And I don't want this to sound very cliche. And I don't want to just be saying it. But I want to tell you, seriously, from the bottom of my heart, man, you guys are like the dream team. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm serious. Like these guys, I was just down there worshiping. That's kind of why I got to crying, because I got to think about how far the Lord had brought me. But I just, in a moment, looked back 21 years ago at the first Easter we had down there, and there wasn't this many people there. And I thought I was Billy Graham filling up, you know, Dallas Stadium or whatever, you know. And just to look and think about how God has brought us from where he's brought us from. And some of you, man, and I'm just like, I love you, but like, you ain't supposed to be here on a Wednesday night. You know what I'm talking about? You ain't supposed to be here, but we're here. And so I'm just saying, God is good, and you know, y'all are answered prayers. And I don't say this enough, but I'm going to say it tonight again. Like, what we do on a given weekend, it couldn't be done without everybody doing their part. And I'm talking about from the greeters, I'm talking about from the golf cart, to the guys in the sound booth, to the people in the nursery, to the coffee bar, to the camera, just everything. It takes a whole army to do what we do and to do it with excellence. And so I just want to say thank you tonight for that. I want to thank you for your efforts, for your sacrifice, for your servant's heart. But I also want to challenge you a little bit, because how many of you know we never get good enough? Come on, somebody. We can always give a little more, serve a little more, do it with a little excellence. And so I'm proud of you, but I'm going to push you a little bit tonight. And tonight is about shifting the way that we think. It's about changing our mindset. It's about learning to think different. How many of you say that you're like me when you grew up going to church? My mindset was, we're going to church and we're going to sit in our pew and we're going to endure a sermon, listen to three songs, and then we're going home and Nanny Jean had a roast in the oven and we're going to eat that roast when we get home. It's what we do on Sundays. That was my mindset. I didn't care who parked cars. I didn't care if there was not enough places to sit. I didn't care if the coffee bar ran out. I didn't care how many volunteers were in the nursery. I just came with this mentality of, this is our church, and they send us a little envelope in the week. My grandmother writes a check and sends it to them, and they ought to have everything ready when I get there. But tonight I want to challenge you to think a little bit different, to learn to think different about church, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I'm going to be really straight up and really frank with you. Can I do that tonight? So we had a baptism about 3 weeks ago, and I'm talking about, what a great day. Awesome day. Middle service, 9:30. That's our big service. This sucker was full, like 380 people in here that day. Standing room only. So we baptized everybody, and I'm just telling y'all, I'm just being honest with y'all, and I start to leave, and we'd already ask, hey, y'all look around, hey, we have visitors, hey, come on, let's be good hosts, let's be hospitable, let's look, you know, let's get some chairs and move in here, if you've been coming to church here, would you be willing to stand up and sacrifice and let somebody sit down? And I'll be honest, when church was over, I walked down here, and I walked around the back to go greet, and there were two families that I know that were visiting for their very first time at this church, and they were standing against the wall back there. They stood up the whole service. And I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just saying, let's learn to think a little different. I talked to Stephen Cunningham today, our executive pastor, and he goes, you know, yeah, people just don't think to look behind them and see who's standing up. And I go, yeah, but I want us to change that. I want us to change our mindset when it comes to these services, because can I tell y'all something? I really believe that America is in a dark place right now, and I really believe there is a spiritual revival that is taking place. I believe we're on the front end of seeing a move of God that everybody in this place has never, ever seen. I believe God is about to shine the light and the darkness is about to flee, that sinners are going to get saved, that lives are going to be changed forever. We're on the very beginning of it, and so all of this is just preparing us for this huge move of God. And we're like, can we learn? Can we shift our mindset? Can we go, wow, freely I've been served at that church for years. Can we shift our mind to go on a big Sunday? Let me look behind me. Can we shift our mind to go, hey, is somebody standing around there? I'm not going to say no names, but I know of two men that just been coming to church here less than a month. And on baptism Sunday, I, as I'm preaching, I'm watching them duck down here and get chairs and bring out over here. I'm just saying we need to learn to be servants. We need to learn to see different and look different and say, what can I do to give back so that others can experience the joy and the servanthood that I receive every week? Just challenging you a little bit. One time, Jennifer and I have some friends that live in Lingleville named Monty and Dina Williams. I don't know if y'all know them or not. They'd built a new home, and so we were down there, and we were going to spend the night with them. And Claire was a little baby, and she was sleeping with us. And I'll never forget, they had two daughters, and their daughters had a twin bed mattress in one room and a twin bed mattress in the other. They wasn't even in a bed, and just had a mattress on the floor. And so as that night we were going to go to bed, the daughters weren't there. They were gone. It was me and Jennifer and Clara and Monty and Dina. Well, Monty and Dina had just bought a brand new king-size bed for their bedroom. And when it come time to go to bed, I'm telling you, old Monty Williams come plumb hot. We had done said, I'll sleep in one of the girls' room. Jennifer can sleep in another girl's room. Monty Williams said, you are a host in our home tonight, and we will dictate where you sleep. And my wife washed those sheets on that brand new king-size bed, and you and your family are sleeping on the king-size bed. Me and Dina will sacrifice and go lay down in the twin beds in opposite rooms. I just think that if the church world had that kind of mentality, more people would want to come hang out with us and people would understand the love of God more. I just want to challenge you tonight. Hebrews 13:12 says, don't forget to always show hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9 says, open your homes. This is our home. It's our church home. Open your homes to each other without complaining. Like, let's don't dare gripe because the house is full and I might have had to stand up one Sunday. Come on, somebody. Let's don't dare complain that, oh, my God, they made a mess in there. You ought to have seen they spill some coffee back there and that carpet back there's a mess back there and all that stuff up there. Let's be sure and don't be complaining. Let's be sure and praising God we got a full house. Come on, somebody. Here's the deal. We have 1 hour to 1 hour and 15 minutes with some people that are going to come to church on Easter. We have just 1 hour, so let's be amazing. Let's be excellent. Let's be the best we can be. By these people choosing to come to Bethel on Easter, you know what they're saying? I trust y'all. They're saying, I trust. They don't trust them. They're hypocrites. They lie. They don't tell the truth. They put on a facade. They're not real. They're not authentic. And so people, when they come here, they go, we're trusting that bunch right there. And so we don't want to change that. That means that every moment that people spend on this campus is important. From the time they shut their car door, they're met by our greeters, they're served a cup of coffee, by the time they have their picture taken, by the time they're welcome at the welcome table, seated by our team, but by the time the worship that they experience, the preaching, every moment matters. It's just one moment, y'all. And we can be the representatives that Jesus has given us. I got a lot of old stories and analogies for y'all tonight. Are y'all ready for this? Can I hear a good amen? Got to be careful, because I know people that have pet fish, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of, but they have pet fish. If you have pet fish, I'm praying for you, and you can come to the altar and repent tonight. They have pet fish. And they have fish in aquariums, and what they do is they have these fish, and they want to add fish. They want some new fish. They want some colored fish. And so here's what the thing is. You have to be careful, because if you add new fish to the old fish and the old atmosphere, the old fish will eat the new fish. Because the old fish are saying, this is my place, this is my aquarium, this is my little plant to get under, this is my cave to get in. And so I just want to remind you that sometimes in church we have to be careful that we don't become the old fish. Listen to me. We forget. How many of you know, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and its powers and wickedness in heavenly places. The battle that we're in is a spiritual battle. And you know what we do? We get comfortable at church, and we've been coming for a good while, and we forget how hard it was when we were living in deep, dark sin. We forget how hard it was. We forget how much courage it took to show up at church. We forget how the enemy was saying, everybody's going to look at you. We forget how much condemnation we had. We forget how hard it was just to show up at church. We forget that. We forget that. Tim Farnsworth, and I hate to brag on him, it kind of makes me sick at my stomach a little bit, but he's one of the greatest greeters that I know anywhere. People all over the country that have been here, they say to me, that guy, your guy. They call him my guy, and I say, that's right, he's my guy. He's so good at reading people when they come in. So there's a guy in Abilene, he's a tattoo artist, straight running hippie, tattoo artist, far from God, dark, grungy, pitiful attitude. And man, I've been working on him and working on him and working on him and trying to get him to come to church. And guess what? He showed up one Sunday morning. Hadn't been to church in 40 years. And thank God, Tim Farnsworth was using his gift. And thank God, Tim Farnsworth was paying attention. And thank God, Tim Farnsworth was at the front door. Because Tim said to me, I saw right quick that this guy was just like the mouse in that trap. He didn't give a crap about the cheese. He just wanted out at that moment. He wanted to leave. And Tim just grabbed him and said, hey, man, you know what? Cody told me you might be coming. Come on, let me walk you on in here in the sanctuary and let me set you down. And he said, you want to sit by yourself, don't you? Yeah, yeah. And he took him and he set him at the back. And just Tim being aware and loving on a new fish, it calmed old John's nerves. And then Tim said to him, hey, would you like to have a cup of coffee? He said, yeah. Tim said, I'll go get you one. You don't even have to get up and walk back in there. And Tim went and got him a cup of coffee. Later on, John, the tattoo artist, told me that he said, I never, ever would have stayed if it hadn't been for your guy at the front door recognizing that I needed a little extra care. We have to be on guard and use our gift. We have to sometimes sacrifice a little bit. So Tim said, every moment is valuable. Every moment is crucial. Because here's the deal, our hospitality and our service to others prepares the way for the Holy Spirit to speak to them. It prepares the way for the Holy Spirit to speak to them. Remember, you never know what they might have been facing, and you never know what they might be going through just to get here that morning. I want to encourage all of you, smile. You may be saying, well, Cody, I don't serve anywhere. I'm saying, yeah, if you attend here, you're a servant here. You don't have to have a title. You don't have to have a job description. Just be who you are. Be authentic and love on people. That's another thing. Be authentic. Be authentic. Our Easter service really doesn't look much different than any other service. You know why? Because we don't want to be phony and fake and do it all on one Sunday and the rest of it fall to the dogs the rest of the year. It's going to look the same. It's going to be compassionate. I mean, it's going to be passionate. It's going to be fiery. But just be yourself, y'all. You ever been around church folk and they're not themselves? Praise God. Welcome to our church today. We are so glad that you have come to our place to worship God today. We really think that you will enjoy the service today. Come on, somebody. Be real. People are tired of plastic, fake, religious bullcrap. They want somebody to be real. Let me tell you another, story. So I got a friend, pastors of church in the Metroplex. They're getting ready for Easter a couple of years ago, and he's telling everybody, man, we want you to greet. If you want to greet, go talk to the greeters, be on the greeting team. We want everybody to be involved. And he said, I will never, ever forget. As soon as church was over, they had a small church, probably 50 people. He said, here come this little old girl. And said she kind of had a little spaghetti strap kind of tank top on and said, there ain't 3 inches of her body that is not covered in tattoos everywhere. Colored hair like this, one of them bull rings in her nose like that. And she said, Pastor, I love this church and I want to volunteer to be on the greeting team. He said, in my mind, I thought, oh crap, girl, you are the last one I want at the front door. But he said, the Holy Spirit just moved on me. You've been preaching authentic and being real. And he said, I just told her, baby, you know what? Get back there and sign up. Easter morning came, and she was at the front door, had her best gear on, tattoos and gauges showing everywhere, and there was two gay women that came in there that were dating. And they came into that church, and in that church service that morning in Easter, they got saved. Both of them repented of their lifestyle, went straight, and began to live their life. After that Sunday, the preacher went up and talked to them and said, "Tell me about coming to church on Easter." They said, "We were scared to death. We were scared that people would judge us. We were scared that you were going to turn us away. But when we walked up to that door, and there that girl stood with those tattoos and those gauges in her ears, we turned to each other and said, 'We know we're at the right church this morning.'" Because they were authentic and they were real. I'm just challenging you to be authentic and to be real on Sunday. And when it comes to Easter, this is really a message that we should be practicing every week. Can I hear a good amen? It's just a good time of year for us to remind ourselves. Our number one goal on any given Sunday is to create joy and love and hope in the hearts of people. That's it. Just create joy, create love, create hope in their eyes. I want to say this to you. We want to send people away from here with smiles on their face. Anytime that we come in contact with a guest, we have an opportunity. You have an opportunity. Every person that you speak to, we have an opportunity to create a positive experience or to create a negative experience. Some people are coming in here thinking that we're hateful, unfriendly, and judgmental. And we have an opportunity to overcome that and go, "You know what? We are so glad you're here. We love you. Welcome you into our place." We want to make sure, I'll say this, actually, to me, Easter Sunday is not the most important Sunday of the year. It's the Sunday after Easter that's the most important Sunday of the year. Because you know what? We don't want to break records. I mean, can I just tell you something? There was over 1,000 people that came to this campus last year on Easter. Blows my mind. And you know what? We'll have more this year. And we're not in it to go, "Wow, we broke our last year's record." That's easy to do. Most churches are going to break their attendance records. You know what we want to do? We're more worried about retention than breaking records. We want to retain those people. We want them to come back. Most of them have been to Easter services here and there, and they've heard the resurrection story. They've heard the songs that the band's going to sing. They've heard the message that I'm going to preach. It's how they feel, and how they feel welcomed is what's going to bring them back to this place. Just challenging you tonight to remember. So here's some practical things, and then we were going to remember to smile. Come on, somebody. Remember to smile. Put a smile on your face. I read a quote today. If you are a tree, your smile are the flowers on that tree. Smile. Smile. If you see someone without a smile, give them yours. I'm telling you, y'all, smile is so powerful in what it can do and what it does. Be the first person to smile. Look around. Look for someone to serve. Look for something to do. Just a few extra things. Provide extra care. Help us with women and children. If they're women and they got kids in a buggy, look, notice that. Reckon that. Help them that. Direct them to the nursery. If there's old folks that can't get around real good and they got a cane or they got a wheelchair, I mean, come on. You can help them in the church. Learn to see things differently. Shift your mind, shift your focus, learn to see things differently. Let me read you this scripture. Matthew 9:36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, and he saw them like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus sees people and crowds differently than we do. Let's learn to see with our spiritual eyes. Learn to see with our servant eyes. Let's learn to see with kingdom mindset that these people are hurting. These people are far from God. They just need somebody to love them and engage with them. Smile at them. Smile right quick. Let me see you. Let me see you. Let me see you. Let me see you. Practice a little bit. Greet everyone that you see. My granddaddy was the greatest guy. I mean, they don't tell him where I'd be without my granddad. They don't tell him where I'd be. But my granddad, we've been to a jillion rodeos and a jillion cuttings and a jillion team ropings. And my granddad would say, "Well, did you see old David Hager over there?" He said, "That son of a buck didn't even speak to me." And I said, "Well, did you speak to him, granddad?" He goes, "Well, no." Sometimes we just do. Just speak to people, whether you know them or not. Hey, what's up? And let me tell you something. If they tell you their name, hey, my name's John. Repeat their name because people like to hear their name. They say, what up, John? When you go to Starbucks or the coffee shop, you know why they write your name on the deal? Number one, so they can keep it straight. But number two, everybody likes to hear, hey, Scott Riggins, here's your coffee. Like to hear our name said. You greet someone. Say hi to them. Introduce yourself. Remember their name. And you go, if you're not good at remembering names, you go, hey, John, guess what? That's Cole. I want you to meet my friend Cole right there. Say their name. It helps you remember. These are easy things and practical things. Physical touch. Shake hands. Do not give a man a dead fish handshake. Come on, somebody. Look them in the eye. Say hi to them. Be careful. Oh, let me tell you something. Over. You know how many battles we have fought with you folks? You bunch of knucklehead volunteer. You know the battles I fought with you about hanging a lanyard around your neck that says Bethel Volunteer. You don't want to do it. You don't like it. Well, guess what? Sorry, it ain't about you. We trust you. We love you. If somebody is here and they have a question and they don't know who to ask, we want you to be greatly identifiable and them go, they got a tag on. They'll know. Let me go ask them. So Gigi's instructed. She's going to have the name tags for all of y'all come Easter morning and Saturday night. Oh, my gosh. What else? I'm done. I don't know. I'm done. I got stuff here for hours and hours. Just enjoy being here. Enjoy being a part of a church that's growing and thriving. We're not a perfect church. We got mess ups, but God's been good to us, and people are going to trust us, and they're going to show up, and let's give them an experience. I've said this, and I'll close with this. Connor, you guys can come help me close. I've said this forever. There's 10 churches in this town. There's 10 churches in this town. And you know what? People are going to drive by all 10 of them to get to this church, the ones that choose to come here. Why? Why should they choose to come here? We're preaching out of the same Bible. We're preaching about the same resurrection. We're preaching about the same Savior. We're preaching the same. We got the same material. Why should they come here? And here's always been our vision and our dream for 2 or 3 years, because we want to create an experience where people can love God and be loved by others and know what it's like to live a life of passion. To create a moment for them. This is where we go, not about me anymore, not I live, but Christ lives in me. This is where we go. I will lay down my life and my will, and I will sacrifice whatever to help somebody else to gain a closer relationship with Christ. We want to be, and this is an old term, and my old timers are going to laugh at me when I say this. We want to be a purple cow. You say, Cody, what does that mean? There's no such thing. Well, let's just play theoretically there's a purple cow. Let me ask you something. As they drive by 10 churches to get here, let me ask you something. If you're driving down the road and you drive by a black Angus cow, what are you going to do? You're going to keep driving. What are you going to do if you drive down the road and there's a Charolais cow standing by? You're going to keep driving. But what are you going to do if there so happens to be you're driving between here and Aspermont and there's a big longhorn purple cow standing on the road? What are you going to do? You're going to stop and get that phone out, ain't you, like this? And you're going to get you a selfie with that purple cow. And as quick as you get back in that car, you fix and text Billy Lamb, say, hey, Billy, you ain't going to believe what I seen. Check out this purple cow. We want to be a purple cow church. We want to be the kind of church that people go, you know what? I got my picture made over there. We want to be the kind of church where they say, you know what? They really are friendly people, and they really do love other people. I didn't know anybody there, but man, I felt so welcome. We don't want to be a black kid. Wow, that was an experience, and I experienced God and His love. So, here's what we're going to do in closing tonight. Sorry, Liz, thank you. Worship team, you want to sing a song first? Okay, let's sing a song. Let's sing a song first. Let's just stand up. We're going to sing a song of worship, and then I'm going to be back. We got one more thing to do. Take about 5-10 more minutes. But let's just sing. Let's let the Lord seal this message and this challenge on our hearts, and then I'll be back in a moment. My heart is ready.
without reservations. God, if I burn, I'll burn for you. Give me a fresh, fresh fire. Give me a fresh, fresh fire. I want what you desire. I'm gonna burn for you. Give me a fresh, fresh fire. Give me a fresh, fresh fire. I want what you desire. I'm gonna burn for you. Yeah. Set ablaze, uncontrolled. I want that fire. I want that fire. Come on, sing it out. So light a match. So light a match. Let it go. Set ablaze, uncontrolled. I want that fire. I want that. Come on, let me hear it out. So light a match. Let it go. Set ablaze. Uncontrolled, I want that fire. I want that. Come on, one more time, see that. Fresh fire. I want what you desire. I'm gonna burn for you. Yeah. Give me a hand. Come on.
So y'all can be seated. We got one more thing we're gonna do. The band's gonna kind of keep playing here for a minute. And for some of you old Pentecostal folk, this is going to be right up your alley. For some of you, you're going to go, hey, wait just a minute. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to, as we came down that way and we served you communion a while ago, I'm going to ask you to come down this way this time. Single file, just walk by here, and I'm going to anoint you with oil. Just a little bit of oil. What kind of oil, Cody? It's olive oil. It doesn't matter. The oil in Scripture signifies, is a metaphor of the Spirit of God. There was a moment when Jesus began his ministry in Luke chapter 4, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to share good news. He has anointed me to proclaim freedom to the captives. He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted and to let the blind eyes be opened. The Bible says the anointing breaks every yoke of bondage. We're just going to anoint you tonight. Just to say, for you to go, wow, Spirit of God's on me. I'm going to share the good news with somebody on Easter. I'm going to share the good news this week. I'm anointed by God. I'm not going in my own power. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is on me. The same one that anointed Jesus is just a moment for you to remember. We just sang that song. You said, I want that fire. I want that fire in the Scripture. The only thing that pours out fire on us is the anointing in the Holy Spirit of God. So, once again, you guys maybe make your way around. I'm not forcing you to come. You don't have to come. I'm just going to anoint you. I'll just rub a little on your head, like that right there, and you can just keep walking, and I'm just going to be praying. You can be in prayer. Let's make this a holy moment. Let's make this a sacred moment. Let's pray and trust God to move in our midst tonight, in the next Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday and all of it together. I got to get rid of my cough drop. So, yeah, y'all head on down. Whoever wants to be anointed, come on, get out here. Let's get it on. The band's going to play, and we will. Father, we just love you, and we just thank you tonight, Lord. Tonight, it's all about you. Y'all come ahead. Y'all come on. Father, it's all about you. Lord, it's about you and about what you've done in our lives. And so, Father, we just receive the anointing tonight, God. We just pray that the anointing right now, the anointing oil, would be here. And we're open and we're surrendering to you, and we just want you to move, God. We do want that fire. And I pray that Holy Spirit fire, you would burn inside of us, that you would burn out of us anything that is not of you, that Holy Spirit, you would set us on fire. Lord, you would remind us tonight of why we do what we do, that we would no longer be complaining, that we would no longer be upset, God. We would just right now live in this moment, God, and the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is living inside of us, God. The anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage, the anointing that sets us free, the anointing that gives us power to do the things that we can't do on our own, the anointing that gives us the love of God, the love that is patient, the love that is kind, the love that endures, God. Give us a new love, give us a godly love, Lord. We pray tonight for a fresh fire, God. We don't just sing about it, God, we receive it tonight, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We declare that this is not just about one Sunday. We declare, God, this is about a move. We declare, God, that this is about revival coming to America. This is about revival coming back to our families. Lord, right now, the men and women in this place are being anointed right now, and you're giving them the strength and the power to be the parents and to be the grandparents you called us to be. That these young people, as they go to school, that the light would shine and burn in their hearts, God. Lord, we pray you would anoint us with joy. Joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, God. The anointing that brings joy, that brings peace. We pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you would move, that you would do what you do. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We welcome you, God. I pray that we would open up, that you would anoint the young ones, that you would anoint our children, that you would anoint our grandchildren, God. Lord, right now, revival would be taking place in our very hearts, that our hearts would be renewed, that our hearts would receive it, God. Holy Spirit, let us change. Let us be changed. Let us be filled with your power, with your strength. In Jesus' name, we declare it. We receive it. The anointing, God. The anointing of the Spirit. The same anointing that Moses carried. The same anointing that Elijah carried. Pour out your power. Come on, y'all stand up. Let's sing it one more time. Pour out your glory. Pour out your power, oh God. Let us never be the same.